live again on Thursday. Have a great day, and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
Yes, I tell her she listens. She loves me tender.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr.
I told you to get out. You need to get out now. We got hoses up here.
The march of the Santa Ana wildfire flames in some cases will go nearly to the Pacific Ocean in and around San Diego.
I'm sad for some of the things that we've lost that are irreplaceable, but I'm glad that we got out safe.
Julie Michaels is in Orange County. CBS's Steve Futterman in northern San Diego County.
Black smoke rising. Another house has been lost, it looks like, here. This is near Lake Hodges in northern San Diego County. Firefighters are doing their best. They have water-dropping helicopters, but the fire is just overwhelming them, and house after house is going up in flames.
California's insurance commissioner is Steve Poisner.
The damage from this particular fire is extensive. It could be one of the worst fires ever in the history of the state of California.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where it's been announced that President Bush will travel to California on Thursday to assess the wildfires and the federal response to them. Spokeswoman Dana Perino says Mr. Bush wants to witness firsthand what the people there are going through and ensure that the state and local governments are getting the assistance they need from the federal government.
More than 1,300 homes and businesses are gone so far. Two people have died, including one man overtaken in the forest by the fast-moving wildfire. The damage, hundreds of millions, and that is an early number. The heat is on to renew the Do Not Call list to protect people from the flood of telemarketers.
Welcome to the National Do Not Call Registry.
When the government started its Do Not Call list back in 2003, the idea was you signed up for 5 years, during which telemarketers had to stop calling you during dinner to sell you things you didn't want. The 5 years ends next year, but you won't have to sign up again. The FTC told Congress today it won't take anyone off the list, on the assumption Congress will at some point act to make it permanent so people can just sign up once and be done with it.
CBS's Bob Fuss is on Capitol Hill. Blackwater will stay in Iraq, but the monitoring will tighten up.
Security guards, whether from Blackwater or other companies, will now have to have cultural awareness training. The idea is that they'll be more gentle in dealing with Iraqi civilians.
CBS's Dan Revive is in Washington. Space Shuttle Discovery swept safely into space today through a thin overcast from Cape Canaveral. One of the most important, one of the busiest missions since Challenger. Five spacewalks are planned. Critical construction set up. We'll set up links for European and Japanese labs to come. A living capsule is to be installed. You don't have a ticket for the game? No problem. Just bribe the ticket taker. Two ticket takers in Cincinnati are charged with taking 20s to let people without tickets into the sold-out Bengals-Jets game. The ticket takers could get 6 months in jail for that. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 109 points today, the Nasdaq up 45, and oil prices were down, $85.27 a barrel, lower by 75 cents. This is CBS News.
When's the best time to save on tires for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Hurry to your dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service event. Right Now, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price guaranteed. The right price on the right tire. Installed by a Ford-trained expert. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details. Hurry, this event ends November 25th.
My wife can tell you I'm a big collector. Fishing lures, rare pennies, you name it. Right now, I'm collecting nights at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn hotels. See, I earn a $50 room credit after just 4 nights with the Easy Choice Rewards program, so I can collect the free $50 fast. And the wife sort of likes that collecting nights doesn't take up any closet space. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night for qualifying stays between 9-1 and 11:30-07. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Got time to spare. Go by air. Isn't funny here or there.
What does flying in and out of New York do to this man's business?
Kills it.
kills you.
He says he's delayed 50% of the time. Congestion at JFK
means more people missing meetings and missing connections.
Acting FAA Commissioner Robert Sturgill.
We've got to get things right at Kennedy.
And so this summit was called, and airlines that use JFK were asked to reduce their schedules during peak hours.
The bottom line here is that afternoon and evening hours were scheduled beyond capacity, even in ideal weather.
He called the delays epidemic and said they're only likely to get worse. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
City Council members in Port Allen, Louisiana, are the latest to outlaw baggy pants being worn by some young folks these days. Under that untucked shirt, ride pants so low, most of a young man's underwear is on display. They think it's fashionable, but council members say no, it's just indecent exposure. Councilman Hugh Riviere said it's called underwear for a reason. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 9 to switch to Geico. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with Geico. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology. Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Peter B. Collins.
Reporting for duty.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm the one with loafers and no socks. Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I would be Peter B., and I'm glad you're listening. Whether you're listening on a fine AM radio station, or you've got your computer logged on to peterbcollins.com, or maybe you're hearing us after the fact on a podcast. If you're listening live, you're always welcome to participate. This is a two-way street, this Peter B. Collins Show. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In our first hour, we take a look at Iraq and the coverage by hardworking journalists, many Americans, many from other countries. Also this hour, Scott Ritter returns to our program. He went looking for the WMD in Iraq, came up empty-handed, and he's become a powerful critic of the Bush administration and the occupation of Iraq. He's also very concerned about our moves toward Iran. He has a new commentary that you can read at truthout.org called On the Eve of Destruction. And Scott's going to take us through some of his thinking about that a little bit later this hour. Also on today's program for our California listeners, we're going to take a look at the Speaker of the Assembly who would like voters in February to give him a new lease on life, to loosen the term limit so he could do one more term. His name is Fabian Nunez. And lately, he's been acting like some duke of something, spending money generated through campaign accounts on luxury travel and expensive meals and things like that. And we're going to talk to Kevin Spillane, who is leading the effort to block the measure that would loosen term limits. And one of the reasons, they say, is Fabian Nunez. Also on today's program, my former producer, who is now a great reporter at truthout.org, Matt Renner, will join us. He got an exclusive interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey of the Progressive Caucus and the Out of Iraq Caucus. And we're going to talk about their interview and some of the issues that were raised. Also on today's program, Melanie Sloan from CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Among other things, she'll update us on the Brent Wilkes trial. He's the guy on trial for bribing Duke Cunningham, who's already been convicted of receiving the bribes.
So a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that trial, and we'll get the latest from Melanie coming up in a couple of hours. And we're also going to get a live report from Wildfire Central in Oceanside, California, just north of San Diego, where things are still very risky. But today, fortunately, the winds have not been as volatile, and the situation is not, oh, you know, the fire's not jumping roads and, you know, jumping from house to house the way it was over the past couple of days. We'll also take your phone calls in the Free Speed Zone, but don't wait till then. If there's something you want to talk about with one of our guests, call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mike Hoyt joins us now from the Columbia Journalism Review, and he is one of the editors of a new book called Reporting Iraq, an Oral History of the War by the Journalists Who Covered It. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
I wanted to start off with the risk that journalists have faced in covering this war in Iraq and bringing, you know, important news and developments to us here in the U.S. And the dateline today from Baghdad, an Iraqi journalist working for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, is reported missing, and the driver of that reporter has been found shot and killed. And this is not the first incident even this year regarding a Radio Free Europe reporter. Two other journalists have been killed this year alone. In May, Nasser Abd Wahid al-Radi was killed in Amara, and 2 months earlier, a reporter named Kamil Musin Khalaf was abducted and later found dead in western Baghdad. Tell us about the struggles that journalists face with the choice of being embedded with U.S. military units, which certainly improves their personal security but limits their ability to freely report, and the risks that they have to take if they decide to go out on their own without a military escort or without being embedded within a unit.
Well, it is very dangerous. It's very different than it was at the beginning of the war. Actually, in your lead-in, you missed one. There was a reporter, Iraqi reporter for the Washington Post, who was shot in the forehead just a week to 10 days ago. And somebody we had actually interviewed at one point for a piece about the stringers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exceedingly dangerous. I mean, when the war first started, it's interesting. The reporters almost universally that we interviewed referred to that period as sort of a golden age. They could go anywhere, they could do anything. They talked about, one of them talked about his car broke down outside of Fallujah, and he hitchhiked into Fallujah and got a mechanic to help him and got it towed to an army base and so forth. I mean, of course, that would, your life expectancy would be about 10 minutes if it happened today.
Well, and that had to be in 2003, because starting in the spring of 2004, Fallujah became a very deadly area.
That's right. And it happened fairly quickly, and Fallujah was, of course, a hot spot. I mean, we had you know, a couple months of sustained chaos shortly after the invasion, and that's when the chemistry began to change. And it's quite interesting, these reporters in our interviews sort of felt it at different points along the, you know, late 2003, 2004, often from personal experience. They were chased, Farnaz Fasisi of the Wall Street Journal has a hair-raising story about just looking out the window of her car and seeing a car full of gunmen after them, actually chasing them. And they just happened to have a faster car and got away.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter Filkins of the New York Times talks about coming across a car bomb scene and the crowd just turning on him to his surprise and beating him and nearly killing him. His driver, he happens to be a very big man, got him out of there. And the danger just sort of grew exponentially. People for a long period were doing things like they talk about disguising themselves or dyeing their hair, or women wearing the you know, the full dress,
mm-hmm.
traditional garb. And it's interesting. One of them talks about she learned it. She wore that, but her Iraqi friends would tell her she still walked like an American. She had to stop looking around. But they did, you know, all kinds of things to get out and to continue to chase the story. But it's true. It's gotten more and more dangerous, and there are fewer reporters there now. And most of them are at big media outlets. I like the Associated Press, the New York Times, NBC, and so forth. I mean, I heard a description the other day of the New York Times bureau. It has machine guns up top and blast walls, and it costs about $3 million a year to run that thing, and that's not even counting salaries. So
yeah, it's their own military compound. It's not inside the green zone. Am I right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dangerous place, but they continue to do it, to much to their credit, and they do it now with the help of Iraqis who are very gutsy people.
Mm-hmm. And as you look at the picture, how have these issues, being embedded, not embedded, the personal security of journalists, how have they affected the reporting?
Well, I think everything is harder. It just takes longer to do things. You have to be very careful. I mean, some of these people talked about, training the Iraqis who were not used to being reporters, who were not... they had to learn that you go back, you get the details, are you sure that's what you think or that's what you saw, that kind of thing. And everything just took longer to do. Everything takes longer to do. But they get it done. I mean, the embedding part of it, there's a little bit of a debate in the book. Some journalists think that embedding is not great
mm-hmm.
in the sense that you only see the country from the military point of view, and you lose some perspective. But I think most of the journalists here think, if you want to cover Iraq, you embed. One of them said, not embedding with the military would be like not going to a mosque. It would just be a part of the story that you would never see. I think most of them believe in it, and they also believe in putting it in context by trying to do some reporting outside of embedding.
And
places you can't go without embedding.
Yeah, let me cite. There are a series of comments on different subjects from a whole range of journalists who participated in this book. And here's just one from Rajiv Chandrasekaran of The Washington Post. I spent more than 2 weeks with the U.S. Marines in Fallujah in April 2004. During the first Marine incursion into Fallujah, the one that would eventually result in the Marines pulling out and then bringing back a bunch of former Ba'athist officers called the Fallujah Brigade, which turned out to be a disaster. This was in the spring of 2004. I was with a Marine battalion in the city. We were camped out in an abandoned soda pop factory. We went out on patrol with these guys. We ate the MREs with them. We were taking incoming fire in the evenings with them. We were in the same degree of danger as them. I was just blown away by how a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds from often very broken homes, inner cities, you name it, how they had come together and were exhibiting what I felt to be very great discipline. We all know there are exceptions to this, but by and large, I was just really impressed by their ability to exercise restraint, to have such a disciplined chain of command. The Marines would have to go back in again with greater numbers and greater force in the fall of 2004. Now, that's just one snapshot, but you do get the sense that by being embedded, they certainly saw the war from the very same perspective as those who saw it from the sight of a gun.
That's true. There's another comment, I'm forgetting who made it, about checkpoints. There was and is an awful problem of innocent people being shot up at checkpoints. And, one of the reporters, whose name is not coming to me, made a point about you've really got to see that from the point of view of the terrified soldier who doesn't know who's who. But, other reporters, Ann Garrels from NPR was one of them, pointed out that, a lot of these checkpoints were really badly set up. They didn't block both ends of the street like they were supposed to. And because they were scared, they just kind of basically, hid. And some people just had no idea that there was a checkpoint. They spring up overnight sometimes.
Yeah.
And, these innocent people get shot. So, you've got to see it from both sides, but you've got to get the Iraqi perspective in there as well.
We're talking with pardon me, Mike Hoyt, the co-editor of this new volume called Reporting Iraq, an oral history of the war by the journalists who covered it. A lot of very interesting commentary that you can pick up in the book, so check it out. It is available at your local bookstore, and it is published by Melville House. We'll continue in a moment with Mike Hoyt. If you have a question or a comment about the coverage of the war and the occupation, give us a call right now. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Be sure to try the chow fun noodles with broccoli and hot and sour soup. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's Restaurant in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. That's 394-5117. Jim's is top for takeout and great for catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside, 394-5117.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Mike Hoyt from the Columbia Journalism Review. He is co-editor of Reporting Iraq, a whole group of reporters who have served the media in Iraq, contributed to this oral history of the war, and there are just a lot of fascinating comments in it. Now, Mike, I do have to ask you, any relation to Wade Hoyt?
No, I get asked that a lot, but no.
Okay, just had to check. I'm from Cincinnati.
Okay.
Couldn't let that one go. There are a lot of fascinating comments from the point of view of the journalists and the other people who work on the media teams. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the need and some of the benefits of embedding. But there's also a downside, and the reporters here often comment in different places how they witnessed people telling, for example, American generals what they wanted to hear. One of those was in Fallujah. And I recall vividly in the spring of 2004 that Aaron Brown was still the anchor at CNN, and he had a live picture from Al Jazeera of bombing raids that were underway on Fallujah at that very minute. And he was also wired into a general in the command center in Qatar who was denying that airstrikes were occurring in Fallujah at that very moment. And so we had this conflict right there, and Aaron Brown yielded to the general. All right? He said, well, we're going to have to take your word for it. Now, the pictures made a liar out of the general. But CNN just blithely went on its way and was not willing to push through to really confront that issue and drive for the truth. Do you feel that that kind of compromised reporting has infected other outlets as well on other occasions?
Well, I didn't see that anecdote, and it sounds like a bad move on CNN's part. If you see it with your eyes, then it's true. I do think there's tremendous there was tremendous pressure on reporters to tell what they call it became the good news. Tell us the good news. You never tell us the good news that's going on. Soldiers do all these kind of good things, fixing schools, water plants, and so forth. Where's that reporting? And the president said that, and the refrain was echoed all over the place. And I think reporters felt that pressure to a certain extent. Actually, I could read a brief thing from Anthony Shadid of the Washington Post.
Go ahead.
In October 2003, I think that was when the first salvo in this good news, bad news debate started going on, and I started questioning myself. I had just been in the States for a couple of weeks. I remember coming back to Baghdad. It was a quiet day, the weather was nice, and it put me in a certain mood, and I may have been intimidated a little bit by this notion of good news and bad news, and I started questioning my own reading of the situation. Am I getting it wrong? Am I not understanding what's happening? Maybe it's better than I think it is. And I remember writing a story, and I think the story reflected that. What's the word I want to use? I think that story reflected my internal questioning more than it should have. And I think it reflected less than what I was actually seeing on the ground. And I regret that story. That's one of the stories I count as a mistake that I did in my time there. It came out of that thing of, again, not sticking to what you're hearing, not sticking to what you're seeing, and kind of listening to those kind of mindless debates over what news should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, they did feel the pressure, and the pressure was fairly relentless. And when, the president is telling you you're not doing your job, you feel it.
And more recently, Mike, and this is more a critique of the electronic reporters than print journalists, but when Petraeus and Crocker came to give the report in September, I thought the media did a lousy job of putting it in context and showing the sleight of hand that they were talking about Anbar, where the surge had barely touched, and claiming that the surge was working because of some deals we made with some warlords in Anbar.
Well, it's true to a certain extent. When Bush proposed the surge, the rationale was to focus on Baghdad. And, of course, when it was not working in Baghdad, but it was working in Anbar, he shifted it somewhat. And, the press really should have, kept the focus on the original rationale. Although that's not to say, there were some good things happening and are happening out in Anbar. But, to be fair to the press, I mean, the New York Times did a spectacular story 2 days before Petraeus came, honing in on three districts in Baghdad, and they kept to the Baghdad focus, and they
Mike, I'm sorry, I got to stop because of the clock here. Mike Hoyt's been talking with us. Pick up the book, Reporting Iraq, a lot of interesting commentary from the point of view of the journalists who've been working there. Thank you, Mike Hoyt.
You're welcome.
I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Home Medics Blood Pressure Monitors. Home Medics, the leader in products for health and wellness. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Blackwater continues to be of concern in Washington. A State Department report on security contractors in Iraq and the September 16th shooting incident involving Blackwater includes recommendations on oversight, coordination, and rules of engagement. But Congressman Henry Waxman has another different kind of complaint about Blackwater.
They have been violating federal laws by treating their guards as independent contractors and thereby avoiding paying millions of dollars in Social Security, Medicare, unemployment.
More after this. To know you're at risk of heart disease, you need to check your blood pressure regularly. That's a life-saving habit. And it's why owning a Home Medics blood pressure monitor is so important. Home Medics blood pressure monitors come in a wide variety of models with innovative features like large, easy-to-read digits, irregular heartbeat detector, and risk category indicator. And only the Home Medics BPA 300 blood pressure monitor uses DK technology. That's a breakthrough that takes readings the way your doctor would. Its built-in microphone actually listens when taking a reading, using both sound and pressure to deliver ultimate accuracy. Home Medics makes taking your blood pressure so convenient that it will surely become just another daily habit. Folks, this is a very important subject, and Home Medics makes terrific blood pressure monitors. They're so terrific, they've recently been awarded the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. I have one in my home, and we use it a lot. Blood pressure monitors from Home Medics, the leader in health and wellness, the ones to trust. Available at Walgreens, Kmart, and other fine retailers. Secretary of State Rice has received the State Department report and recommendations on Blackwater, which she wants to discuss with Defense Secretary Gates.
I'm reviewing the recommendations. They fall into a number of categories, including issues of oversight and coordination, rules of engagement, etc. I believe that the recommendations point a very good way forward, and I intend to act on them expeditiously.
Blackwater security guards are former Navy SEALs mostly. Some are former Army Rangers. They're well paid for what they do in Iraq, but as independent contractors rather than as employees. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Henry Waxman of California contends they can't do that and is accusing Blackwater of failing to withhold and pay millions of dollars in Social Security, Medicare, unemployment, and related taxes.
Blackwater seems to think they don't have to follow the rules and therefore the taxpayers are going to lose out.
Blackwater says the chairman's contention is incorrect. But he says they sought to conceal their conduct from Congress.
They told this employee, don't ever tell anybody in public office. Don't tell any of those politicians about this situation. Well, if they think they did nothing wrong, why were they trying to hide it?
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Scott Ritter is going to join us in just a moment here. He's written a warning article about Iran.
guns exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
That's a kind of scary song, taking us back to the dark days of the 1960s. A guy named Barry McGuire, and it's called The Eve of Destruction. And that's the title that Scott Ritter chose for a commentary that you can read at truthout.org. It was posted Monday, October 22nd. And Scott Ritter, as you know, served in the Marine Corps and then was part of the UN inspection team that prior to our invasion went into Iraq looking for those pesky WMD. Scott Ritter since then has been a powerful voice opposing this administration and trying to expose the lies that led us into Iraq. And now he's trying to sound the alarm about Iran. And regarding Iraq, I have to say that in the fall of 2002, when people like Hillary Clinton and John Edwards lined up and voted to give the president the power to go to war with Iraq, we spoke to Scott Ritter on my radio program at the time. And what was so persuasive about his case against the phony claim that Iraq had WMD was that he'd been there. He'd inspected hundreds of locations. And that he was persuaded that Iraq had not restarted any effort to develop a nuclear or a biological or chemical weapon since the end of the first Gulf War. And what was really persuasive about his comments and what led me to fully doubt the crap that was coming out of the Bush administration, the cooked intelligence from the Office of Special Plans run by PNACer Doug Feith over there at Rumsfeld's Pentagon, was that the shelf life of chemical and biological weapons is very short. And Scott Ritter told me, he said, Peter, if they've got chemical or biological weapons, they are at least 10 years old. And they're about as toxic as a rancid can of Coca-Cola. We're having a little trouble getting a hold of Scott, and we do give him the benefit of the doubt. He serves as a volunteer fireman in his community, and I have no idea if he's out on a call right now, but if we can't reach him, that's the reason why. Brian will continue to try, but I want to share some of the comments in this article, and then we'll take some phone calls if you'd like to talk about the U.S. posture toward Iran. Scott Ritter writes, don't worry. The White House is telling us, don't worry. The world's most powerful leader was simply making a rhetorical point. At a White House press conference last Wednesday, President Bush informed the American people he had told world leaders, if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing Iran from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon. World War III. That is certainly some rhetorical point, especially coming from the man singularly most capable of making such an event reality. And a little later he writes, a critical question is, who was the last person to imprint the president prior to his public allusion to World War III? And I will add, in watching the presidential news conference last Wednesday, when Bush delivered that line, he did so with that kind of smirk and nervous giggle that he uses when he knows you don't believe what he's saying. At least that's how it works for me. He said, if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing Iran from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon. Now, I'm not good at impersonating the president, but I think you understand that very special little uncomfortable laugh that he uses. So Ritter says, who was it that made the last impression on the president about Iran? During his press conference, Bush noted that he awaited the opportunity to confer with Gates and Rice, who had recently met with Putin in Russia. So clearly, the president hadn't been imprinted recently by either of the principal players in the formulation of defense and foreign policy. He writes, the suspects then are quickly whittled down to three: National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, Vice President Dick Cheney, and God. And Ritter goes on to describe how Stephen Hadley operates, and that essentially there is no policy toward Iran. He writes, the silencing of informed critics is in keeping with Hadley's deliberate policy obfuscation. There is still no official policy in place within the administration concerning Iran. While a more sober-minded national security bureaucracy works to marginalize the hawkish posturing of the neocons, the administration has decided that the best policy is, in fact, no policy, which is a policy decision in its own right. Hadley has foregone the normal procedures of governance in which decisions impacting the nation are written down using official channels and made subject to review and oversight by those legally and constitutionally mandated and obligated to do so. A policy of no policy results in secret policy, which means, according to Hadley himself, the Bush administration simply does whatever it wants to, regardless. In the case of Iran, this means pushing for regime change in Tehran at any cost, even if it means World War III. So, Scott Ritter is sounding the alarm here. And he has written what I think is a very persuasive piece. You can find it. It originally was at truthdig.com. That's Robert Scheer's website. And it's now available at truthout.org. And wherever you decide to read it, I think it is worth your time. He closes his piece by saying, in response to those who think that the end times are near and that Bush is doing God's work to bring us to Judgment Day, Ritter writes, God is not on our side or the side of any single nation or people. To believe such is the ultimate expression of national hubris. To invoke such, if one is a true believer, is to embrace sacrilege and heresy. This, of course, is an individual right granted as an extension of religious freedom, but it is not a collective right, nor is it a right born of governance, especially in a land protected by the separation of church and state. The issue of Iran is a national problem which requires a collective debate, discussion, and dialogue inclusive of all the facts and stripped of all ideology and theocracy, which would seek to deny reasoned thought conducted within a framework of accepted laws and ideals. It is grossly irresponsible of an American president to invoke the imagery of World War III without first sharing with the American people the framework of thought that produced such a comparison. Such openness will not be forthcoming from this administration or president, not in the form of Hadley's policy of no policy, designed with intent to avoid and subvert both bureaucratic and legislative process and oversight, or Dick Cheney's secret government within a government, operating above and beyond the law, and in a manner which violates both legal and moral norms and values, and certainly not in the president's own private conversations with quote-unquote God, either directly or through the medium of lunatic evangelicals who embrace the termination of all we stand for, and especially the future of our next generation, in a fiery holocaust born of the fraudulent writings of centuries past. The processes which compelled George W. Bush to speak of a World War III are intentionally not transparent to the American people. The president has much to explain, and it would be incumbent upon every venue of civic and public pressure to demand that such an explanation be forthcoming in the near future. The stakes regarding Iran have always been high, but never more so than when a nation's leader invokes the end of days as a solution. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to get through to Scott Ritter today, so I want to open up the phone lines, get your comments on these comments, and I've got a few other things I'll toss into the hopper here. But get on the line now. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And an interesting comment from Condoleezza Rice today. She repeated the threat that if Iran doesn't, opt out of its own nuclear development programs, that, the sanctions will increase and that our response will be ratcheted up. And then she said, everybody knows what that means. And I'm sorry. This is the kind of elliptical commentary that is exactly what Scott Ritter has written about here, that this is a non-policy that allows for a secret policy, and then the public comments of the president and his advisors are supposed to, inform us of things that we already know about. And that presumption and that cycle is very, very dangerous. I think we have Scott Ritter now. Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks for joining us today. Let me commend you on a powerful piece. And while we were hooking up with you, I took the liberty of reading a couple of key items here. Let's talk first about your ideas of imprinting on the president. And you wrote about how when you were working as a weapons inspector, you always wanted to be the last to make a point to your commander, the executive chairman in this case, and you speculate about who had the last impact on Bush before he made these remarkable World War III comments at his news conference last week.
Right, and this is pure speculation, but you're sitting here, looking at the president respond in a give and take question and answer period. These weren't prepared statements that the president was reading. This wasn't something that was carefully staffed. This is terminology that came from his head. And so you have to wonder where that came from. I mean, it's hovering there. It's not as though he invented it on the spot. He has to tap into something, a reservoir of thought, before producing a World War III allusion. So, you have to say, okay, well, who's talking to this guy? Well, we know Condoleezza Rice and Robert Gates aren't there right now. Mm-hmm. They're off traveling around the world doing their thing.
They were trying to look into Putin's soul, and he shut him down.
Well, they were only following the president's footsteps, trying to ascertain a deeper meaning by looking into somebody's eyes, as opposed to actually sitting down, with carefully thought-out analysis derived from intelligence. But here we have to say, okay, well, who's touching this guy? And that's where you have to look at who's available. Do you have Stephen Hadley, the National Security Advisor, who very much operates in the shadows, who is the, formulator of no policy,
mm-hmm.
meaning we're just not going to commit to anything so that we can do what we want to do. We can just do it. Were his words. Dick Cheney, whose speech earlier this week, outlined the administration's no holds barred policy on Iran. Again, it's not a policy that's been committed to in writing that we can review and subject to bureaucratic and legislative oversight. It's a policy of assumption, as you mentioned.
Well, and Scott, we have this elliptical way that it's presented, as if we all know that there are evil people in Tehran, and that it's a given that
yep.
the only available response, and this is where these guys are really good at presenting false choices, as if it is as simple as that, and that we have no additional options. But the very clear impression they want us to accept is that this is an imminent threat. We must respond. We have no choice.
That's correct. And let's take a look at another piece of news that came out today. Mohammed El-Baradei, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, in an effort to dampen down, a growing sense of urgency that's being pushed by the United States, said, Iran, in his estimation, is 3 to 8 years away from being able to have the bomb. A well-meaning statement,
mm-hmm.
but it gets twisted around. There's, the fine print that nobody bothers to read when they look at that headline, which he says, we don't have any evidence of this. And I'm not in the business of reading intent or, you know, or predicting what the intentions of Iran are. But the bottom line is they're, you know, they have a technology that they have to resolve, which is enrichment. They haven't resolved it. They're 3 to 8 years away from doing this, so there's no urgency. Now what we get is even the IAEA is saying that there's a nuclear bomb threat in Iran. Well, that's not what the guy was saying.
Right. The other thing is the shifting rationale being offered, because now we need to go get them because they have the knowledge of how to make a nuclear weapon. Not just the intent, but the knowledge, and that right. that is a sufficient trigger. We got to take a break, Scott. We'll pick up there as we continue. A couple of callers on the line. We'll try to get to you in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Scott Ritter is my guest here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
The question, what's on Dick Cheney's iPod?
Bomb, 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 ran. Bomb, 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 bomb,
bomb. I'm Peter B. We're talking with Scott Ritter, former UN weapons inspector, served in the United States military with distinction. His latest book is called Waging Peace, The Art of War for the Anti-War Movement. And his latest commentary piece we referenced is called On the Eve of Destruction. You can read it at truthdig.com or truthout.org, probably on other websites as well. And, Scott, we did set it up with the Barry McGuire song before you joined us. I do think that's an apt choice, and baby boomers will remember it, but I guess a lot of people in the iPod generation probably don't know too much about that era and that particular song.
Well, I have to say that, I was whistling that tune when I came up with the title. So
yeah, yeah. So what is your advice here politically? What should we as citizens be doing to try to prevent this clear desire by Bush and Cheney to launch a military assault of some sort on Iran?
That's the hardest question in the book right now. We're so far behind the power curve on this one. The plans for war against Iran are so far advanced. The political preparations here at home are, so well entrenched. Even Joe Biden, Democratic candidate for president, senator from Delaware. I'm not inclined to be a Biden fan, but Biden has aptly noted that the Senate's most recent resolution on Iran, in which they designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Command as a terrorist group, a state sponsor of terror, is tantamount to a declaration of war. He says if you read this and you look at the existing war powers resolutions, Congress has just told the president, you can bomb Iran.
Yeah.
Not only that, they gave the president a target list. And so, the one hope I had is that we would somehow have a realization on the part of Congress that the system of checks and balances, regardless of how you fit on, the issue of Iran, whether you're for or against confrontation, the system of checks and balances must be defended to the point of demanding that the president go through Congress. Even if you're a member of Congress who says, I'll support going against Iran, you must insist that the Constitution play out. But that appears not to be in the cards, that Congress has punted. So,
well, we know that there was the intent in the spring in the bill that the president vetoed that provided additional funding for the war in Iraq, that there was an explicit ban on a military action against Iran without congressional approval, and it was removed after many congressional leaders went to address the AIPAC convention that was underway at the time. And last week I spoke with Professor Mearsheimer, who's co-author of the book The Israel Lobby, and it's a powerful statement about how a relatively small group of people, well-funded, well-placed, and very politically astute, has been able to dominate American foreign policy.
Look, when you have Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, both saying that they're going to take this provision, which I believe was chaired by Jim Webb, or floored by Jim Webb, a senator from Virginia, former Marine, the provision required the president to seek funding through the war through Congress, through the Senate, through the House of Representatives. They removed it, saying that to put this in would tie the president's hands when it came to Iran and therefore be dangerous for the national security of, and this is where you get that ominous drum roll, Israel. Elected representatives of the United States of America basically said that their concerns for Israeli security trump their duty and responsibility when it comes to the Constitution. And it's frightening, A, that they would commit to this in public, B, that a non-American lobby would have this much influence over the people who are allegedly supposed to represent we, the people.
Well, and Scott, I can already see the lips forming into an accusation against you and me of anti-Semitism. And let me just say that I cannot believe that any military interaction with Iran is in the best interests of Israel.
It's not. Look, I spoke last spring at the conference of the American Jewish Council down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I mentioned to them that, I'm not Jewish. I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant American, but I've actually invested more of my time and my life into defending Israel than nine-tenths of the people that sat in the audience that day. I mean, I fought in the first Gulf War, trying to interdict missiles that were being fired from Western Iraq into Israel. I spent 4 years working with Israeli intelligence on the issue of hunting down Saddam's weapons of mass destruction so that they couldn't threaten Israel. And the last thing I want is for missiles to be raining in on Israeli cities. And I tell them, if you pursue this policy towards Iran, I will guarantee you one end result, that Israeli cities will feel the wrath of this irresponsible military adventure.
I got to stop. I got to stop, Scott. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon. Read his commentary on the eve of destruction at truthdig.com. Scott Ritter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Wildfires force more than half a million from their homes.
What we're seeing is a mass migration of people.
Blackwater Security will stay in Iraq.
A State Department review concludes that private contractors have been effective.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Get out. Get out. It's not worth dying for.
That was the advice for hundreds of thousands of Southern California residents as the flames advanced toward their homes. Already two people have been killed by the fires, and the Los Angeles Times says at least three elderly have died after being evacuated. In San Diego County, the fires have burned an area bigger than New York City. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman filed this on-scene report.
The hill in front of me now completely engulfed by flames, and the flames are now jumping across this two-lane highway to a location where there are dozens and dozens of homes. Some of the homes are already up in flames. I can see black smoke. Now another house has just gone up as we were talking. Black smoke rising. Another house has been lost, it looks like, here. This is near Lake Hodges in northern San Diego County. Firefighters are doing their best. They have water-dropping helicopters, but the fire is just overwhelming them, and house after house is going up in flames.
Across the region, at least 1,300 homes and businesses have been lost.
The damage from this particular fire is extensive. It could be one of the worst fires ever in the history of the state of California.
State Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner estimates economic losses in the hundreds of millions. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds is in Rancho Bernardo.
The firefighters are exhausted. They need help. They tell us that they are undermanned and unable to keep up with the vagaries of the flames. As for the residents who've had to flee their homes, many are in a state of denial, others are in a state of shock, and they have no idea when they'll be able to go back to a house, if that house is even standing.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says everything depends on the weather.
We have to just pray that the wind goes away, because as soon as we have get rid of the wind, then the firefighters can really put an end to the fires all over the place.
The wind is expected to die down tomorrow. President Bush will visit on Thursday. Now this.
TGI Friday's Restaurants presents Food for Thought. Know this, your taste buds have feelings, so give them Friday's three-course meal for $12.99 and choose your appetizer, entree, and dessert. Now with our new sweet and savory Asian garlic chicken. So come in for Friday's $12.99 three-course meal for a limited time only. It won't last long. And remember, you're not salivating. Those are taste bud tears of joy. Gimme more Fridays.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo. Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Blackwater USA, in effect, has been put on probation after its security guards in Iraq killed at least 17 civilians during an ambush. Today, CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice ordered new oversight.
Blackwater USA is not being thrown out of Iraq. In fact, the State Department report says, in general, private contractors have been effective. But now there will be U.S. government diplomatic security officers in every convoy, also video recorders in case investigations of some incidents are needed afterward.
The weather held and Space Shuttle Discovery got off the ground this morning.
3, 2, 1, booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery.
The shuttle's crew of 7 will spend a week and a half at the International Space Station installing a new living compartment and adjusting some of the equipment outside. 5 spacewalks are planned. You might be surprised to hear that parts of this country are radioactive. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story.
Native Americans were among many Westerners recklessly exposed to radioactivity as uranium was mined and processed in the early days of the nuclear age. But Congress was told today it's still happening to the Navajo. Phil Harrison remembers as a child playing with radioactive debris.
I drink uranium-contaminated water from those mines. We wash our clothes in uranium-contaminated water.
One witness brought a container of drinking water from Navajo lands today, and the committee watched in horror as a Geiger counter went off registering radioactivity. Members promised to press for a real and long overdue cleanup. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
When's the best time to save on tires for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Hurry to your dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. Right Now, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price guaranteed. The right price on the right tire. Installed by a Ford-trained expert. See your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details. Hurry, this event ends November 25th.
My wife can tell you I'm a big collector. Fishing lures, rare pennies, you name it. Right now, I'm collecting nights at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn hotels. See, I earn a $50 room credit after just 4 nights with the Easy Choice Rewards program. So I can collect the free $50 fast. And the wife sort of likes that collecting nights doesn't take up any closet space. Call 800-4-CHOICE or visit choicehotels.com. We'll see you there.
Earn 2 stamps per night for qualifying stays between 9-1 and 11-30-07. Maximum 10 stamps per stay. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up in half an hour, Matt Renner, who used to be my producer, now is a reporter at truthout.org. He's going to join us to talk about his video interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey. They talk about the NSA issues. They talk about getting Americans out of Iraq. And a few other items, too. That'll be interesting a little bit later this hour. But first, we're going to talk about term limits in California. And I still am of the opinion that term limits are not a great idea. Not in and of themselves. I believe that people believe in term limits to try to get rid of somebody else's elected official. And every time somebody stands for re-election, you have the choice to retain them or to retire them. That's where I believe the power of term limits should reside. But I'm a realist. And since we have a campaign contribution system that amounts to organized graft, and because for whatever reasons, and one of the key factors is that politicians, particularly California legislators, draw their own districts, they choose their own voters, and most of them are completely protected from any kind of a political challenge at the polling place. And so, reluctantly, I kind of back into accepting term limits as a part of the landscape here in California. And during this past year, our elected officials, and let's be fair, both the Senate and the Assembly in California are controlled by Democrats. They had the opportunity to honor a commitment they made, I think it was extracted by Governor Schwarzenegger, that in order to put a term limits relaxation ballot measure on the ballot for the primary in February, that they would also agree to put a fair redistricting plan on the ballot so that what I just described, politicians choosing their own voters, would be limited, if not eliminated. And they were too busy accepting campaign contributions from special interests and pushing forward the self-interest of Proposition 93, that I've now come to the position that I am probably going to vote against Proposition 93, because I don't believe the current crop of our elected officials has operated in a manner that earns that kind of special consideration. Bob Adney joins us. He is from the committee that is opposed to Prop 93. Their website is called stopthepoliticians.com, where you can get more information. Bob, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice to talk with you. And you heard my introduction, my tortured history on this whole issue of term limits. And I once described it that I wanted federal term limits, but just for Jesse Helms and Trent Lott.
Right.
Because they're people who really, you know, I am annoyed that their voters, their electors, returned them, or did return, in the case of Jesse Helms, what, 5 or 6 times. But on balance, I would prefer that the system work so that voters in a specific district get to choose whether their legislator serves 6 years or 10 years or 20 years.
Yep.
And there are some great examples of people who served a long time with distinction. John Vasconcellos was a friend of mine who served 28 years in the legislature and another 8 years in the Senate, and he's now happily retired in Hawaii.
Okay.
But Willie Brown was really the focal point of the original term limits measure that passed and gave us the system that we have today. And Bob Adney, the work that you and your team have been doing in exposing Fabian Nunez, who is the current Speaker of the Assembly, it's as if he's been getting secret advice from Willie Brown on how to be as far out of touch with the average Californian as possible, and how to enjoy to the hilt the cash that flows through the political accounts of the Speaker of the Assembly.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. Just to talk one thing about on your intro, you mentioned here's a really shocking example. If you look at the last, because like you said, you kind of backed into term limits, you know, under the situation we have, and we actually, a lot of people do that, and I kind of find myself the same way. But if you take the last 3 years in California, you look at every congressional, state assembly, and state senate race. So basically every congressional and every state legislative race in the last 3 election cycles, we've had 459 elections. Of those 459 elections, guess how many have changed, how many incumbents have lost, or party has taken over a seat?
Well, I know about Pombo in the congressional race, and that's the only one I can think of, Bob.
Well, you nailed it. That is the only one of the last 459 elections. So that's saying that 99.8% of party and incumbents hold on to their seats. I mean, Saddam Hussein didn't get elected with those kinds of numbers.
Well, wait a minute. I think he did.
Yeah, right about that, 99.8. I think he pulled at 96, 98, 97% or something like that. I'm not sure exactly. But
well, the returns from Abu Ghraib didn't make it in time to be counted.
Yeah, very true. So, but that, and you find a lot of people do that. But Nunez and a lot of people do back into it. They say, you know, we'd like voters to be the real, true determinants of term limits. And, you know, there are some great legislators out there that are there for, you know, many, many decades and who are very good legislators. But the problem...
Well, and Bob, there's a strong case to be made that absent redistricting and absent significant campaign finance reform, that term limits actually strengthens the hands of special interests, because we've got amateurs who come into Sacramento and it takes them at least a year and a half to figure out how to submit a bill, how to work it through a committee, how to get it passed, and who's there to help them? The friendly lobbyists who
right.
know how things work, many of whom are former legislators or staff members.
Exactly. And it would be great if we did have fair redistricting, if there wasn't this incumbency protection, you know, littered throughout all of our laws and all of our finance things. But as it stands now, you know, we do need term limits because of the situation that we have now. And I think a San Francisco Chronicle editorial had it best, where they said Fabian Nunez is a walking billboard for term limits.
Well, he is. And why don't you enumerate some of the embarrassing things that the folks at No on 93 have reported to us in recent weeks? When it first started, I thought, oh, they're digging for dirt. And then I said, wow, he gave him lots of dirt. In fact, there's a whole pot. Call in a bulldozer. Get a big dump truck.
Exactly. And we definitely, I tell you, though, one of the most amazing things is two places that have really pushed this. We call it really follow the lead of the L.A. Times, his hometown paper. And the Latino media, the Spanish media, has really been hitting him hard because I think they thought of him as someone that was, you know, that represented them, and now they're learning that, hey, it's the exact opposite. And just to talk a little bit about basically what he's done, he's been traveling the world like a high roller. What he's done is he spent, I mean, just alone, he has spent $47,000 in the last year on travel all over the world, just on airfare. Some of the other things, he spent almost $9,000 for a hotel room in Barcelona. He spent over $5,000 at a meeting in the Bordeaux region of France in a wine cave, it's called.
Yeah, I've been there. I didn't manage to spend $5,000, but I've been to the caves of Bordeaux.
Yeah, they're supposed to be amazing. And just some very other just interesting
now, exactly
things.
What business of the people of California was he conducting in a cave in Bordeaux? I mean, I went there as a tourist, and I'm a wine lover.
Right.
But I would not presume to have a political account pay for my vacation travel.
Well, and that's where the question comes in. And what he said is, oh, don't worry, I've had an accountant and an attorney look over it, so just trust me on this.
Right.
He has said they're for meetings and for gifts for other dignitaries. But he has spent twice. He went to Louis Vuitton and spent over almost $3,000 at Louis Vuitton for what he says is office expenses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much staples are running at Louis Vuitton, but I honestly don't think they carry them.
Now, what about his wife? Her name is Maria Robles, right?
Yes. Steve Lopez, from the LA Times, said he gave it the quote of the year was where Fabian Nunez said, well, you know, there's actually told another reporter that there's not too big of a difference between how he lives and how most middle-class people live.
Oh, I heard that quote, yeah.
Well, his wife makes six figures also, and she makes money from getting contracts of groups that have issues before her husband. The glaring one right now is the hospitals. I don't know exactly which group, but a lobbyist of the hospitals has a $100,000 contract with them. Now, here our big issue before the legislature right now in the special session is the waters, but mostly for health care. We're trying to come up with a health care deal.
Right.
Now, I don't understand how you can be impartial when the hospitals are putting $100,000 into your personal banking account, into your wife's bank account, and the California Nurses Association has asked him to please withdraw himself from the negotiations because they feel he cannot be impartial.
Well, and Maria Robles has said that they never talk business. Now, I find that really hard to believe. I know a lot of power couples, and I don't think that at home, you know, they just talk about who's on Wheel of Fortune tonight.
I know. I mean, I've spent years in working in grocery stores, and I know that was far less interesting, but I came home, and I'd tell my girlfriend about what happened for my day at work and who I spoke to and what happened, so I mean, we all do it, and for them to pretend, oh, we never say a word about it, I just think it's ludicrous.
We're going to take a break and return with Bob Adney. He's with the crew against Proposition 93, which would relax term limits. They've been exposing a lot of things about Fabian Nunez that don't sit well with this California taxpayer. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call now. Do you support term limits? And do you believe that the current crop in Sacramento has earned a new lease, an extension of their lease on our taxpayer facilities there at the Bill Mill? Let me know. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Well, everybody, let's take a look at traffic, and certainly things not as bad as in the Southern California area as far as traffic is concerned. I'm going to let you know with all the fires, of course. Right now, Santa Cruz County Highway 1 at Swanton Road, vehicle on fire. It's on the right shoulder. Fire department blocking the southbound lane to put out that fire at this point. I can also tell you is traffic is extremely heavy approaching the scene. Now, if you're in Marina, northbound 1 before 1st Street, there's a two-vehicle fender bender. It is in the center divide. CHP units on scene, and no injuries to report on this crash. In Carmel, Rancho, San Carlos Road at Chamasol Pass, we have a two-vehicle crash. One of the vehicles actually went off the roadway there, and CHP on the way to the scene, so they're not quite there, but possible injuries to the fire department being called out as well. Southbound 1, a little bit of pockets of slow and go between Monterey and Carmel.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. What do you think about term limits? Should they be relaxed, according to Prop 93, or...
Yeah.
We're talking with Bob Adney from the campaign against Prop 93. It'll be on the February ballot. It would relax term limits, essentially let about 42 current legislators serve one more term, either in the Assembly or in the Senate. And at their website, stopthepoliticians.com, you can get more information. Fabian Nunez has been a poster child against Prop 93. He's really his own biggest enemy. And the information you've sent out recently, Bob, doesn't even include the whopper, the $1 million that he took on behalf of the Democratic Party from AT&T for washing through the bill that eviscerates local control of cable franchises in California. And I'll add one more. You guys are light on Don Parada, who has, as the president pro tem of the Senate, has been investigated and somehow skated on a fascinating kickback scheme that he set up that enriched him and his son and daughter by basically steering consulting business to a business partner.
Yeah, actually, we are, Nunez has been the story, but actually, in June, we actually filed a formal, we're the ones that filed, I've went and filed the FPPC complaint against Parada, and they are investigating it, and we're going to be following up with them shortly to find out what's going on with that, because, it's been the same way. I mean, these guys are perfect examples of why we need term limits. And, you know, the sad thing is they'll do anything they can to stay in power. And that's what's so bad, and that's what this initiative, you know, shows. We're telling everybody to vote no on 93 because they want to be able to keep with their purse, keep
and,
with their
and,
power.
And who's funding your effort, Bob?
We have a bunch of different people. Actually, we did a
just
large.
Name the top two or three.
The largest donor so far is the Term Limits America PAC.
Uh-huh.
It's a PAC, I think, based out of Virginia that goes around and helps all kind of statewide term limits effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then our second biggest donor right now is our new Inland Empire chair, Bill Postmas, who is who actually is a politician, not a state legislator, though. Mm-hmm. He has decided to come on board and help us out. And so those are our two biggest donors right now.
Let's squeeze in a couple of calls here. Laura in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Laura.
Thanks for giving me an a forum to express my opinion. I disagree with your guest. Mr. Nunez and Mr. Parada are not poster childs for term limits. They're poster children for bad legislators. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. I believe that Buckley v. Vallejo was a terrible decision because it denies me the right to send a good legislator back to do work for the people. I think that the answer to this is publicly funded elections.
Yeah, but Laura, Buckley Vallejo equates contributions with free speech. I don't quite get your point.
I believe that that was the start to term limits. Term limits guarantee that we will have ideologues and idiots elected to legislate. It takes a long time to learn the job. They come in with an agenda. They don't get the agenda done, and they're gone. And let's not forget that under Newt Gingrich's contract on America, there were term limits, and most of those that were elected under that program also wanted to extend their stay in Washington.
All right, let me jump to another call. You make a great point, and I do generally agree with you there. Linda in Sacramento, you're next. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, she said it exactly the way I wanted to say it, only better. My point was that, one, he keeps saying there are poster children for term limits as though we don't have term limits. We do have term limits. The fact is that people make mistakes. That doesn't mean somebody... You're upset with somebody from Los Angeles, and I get to lose my representative.
All right, Linda, do you support Prop 93, which would give them each one additional term?
I absolutely do. All you have with term limits as it stands now is it takes two and a half, three years before these guys know what they're doing, and then it's time for them to run for election.
And what about
their next job?
What about the incumbent protection that they get from drawing their own maps? I realize it's not directly related, but it's part of the whole parcel, and that's the reason why I reluctantly back into saying I can't extend term limits for these people because they don't respect the voters.
We're not going to have respect for the voters as it stands. You're not respecting the voters by taking away my right to elect my representative because some Los Angeles guy is spending money. I mean, that is seems to go against the very Constitution. It,
okay,
it
I wish I wish I had more time, and we'll take more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone next hour. Bob Adney, I want to thank you for joining us. Again, people can get more information at the website stopthepoliticians.com.
Thank you very much for having me on today.
Okay, good to talk with you. Coming up next, Matt Renner from truthout.org talks about his video interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Every candidate needs a story. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Hillary Clinton may be ahead in the polls, but there seems to be this fear in the Clinton camp that she's just not warm enough. You get a hug from Bill, but you get a text message from Hillary. And so her handlers, so we read, are busy re-imaging her as a middle-class girl with Midwest values. Because every politician's got to have a stirring backstory. Well, you know what? At some point, you also have to be smart enough to solve problems. For example, in Southern California right now, voters really hope the people they elected know how to put out wildfires. They don't care what their childhood was like. In Georgia, you need people who can find water for Atlanta. You don't care how much trouble their daddy had finding a job during the Great Depression. And in the White House, you need someone who can figure out a more efficient way to fight this global war on terror, which is going to cost $235 billion this year alone. $15.2 billion of that is just to protect soldiers from roadside bombs. You could build a pretty decent water supply with that kind of money. You could pay for brush clearing operations to keep wildfires from spreading. This presidential campaign would be a good time for candidates to focus on the one thing they actually have control over, which is where the money goes. Do we really care whether you were the son of a mill worker, or a POW, or a middle-class girl with Midwest values, or overcame a bad case of chicken pox? I can find 100 people we've never heard of who've been through worse. Spare us the novella. Get control of the money. Now this.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday night's games at Seaside as Monte Vista entertains the Spartans. 7:10 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated,
and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B's America.
Thirty-three minutes into the hour, you've got the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that? We'll kick off next hour with a report from Washington on corruption. And we only give Melanie Sloan 5 or 10 minutes. We'll get the highlights and the lowdown on the Brent Wilkes trial underway in the San Diego area. We're also going to get a report next hour from the fire zone in San Diego County. One of my friends is going to check in with us and give you an idea of what the response there has been like. But first, Matt Renner joins us. As some of you know, he was the first producer of this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show when we started up in the summer of 2005. And earlier this year, he jumped over to truthout.org, where he's been doing a lot of great reporting. We'll talk about at least a couple of those reports in this half hour. And you're welcome to join us if you have a question or a comment. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Matt Renner, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Nice to have you back on the air here. Now, set the scene for us, because over last weekend you had an opportunity to do an interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey. She is a leader of the Progressive Caucus in the House and also the Out of Iraq Caucus, and she happens to be my personal member of Congress. And the video is edited and now available at truthout.org. And just as your friend and a former colleague, I have to say, I thought you did a great job.
Great, thank you. I've had a lot of fun doing it. She's a very sweet woman. She may not be the best, most well-spoken representative. I think that she has a great heart and very good intentions, and that came across. Yeah, I spent about an hour with her ahead of the interview. They took me with them to go watch her speak in front of a impeachment rally that was put on by KPFA and some of the folks at Sonoma State, the Project Center people, so that was a lot of fun.
And you did mention impeachment with her in the interview, and she made it very clear that she supports it, but
right.
She doesn't think it's going to happen.
No, and she also said something that, you know, I've heard a lot of, that this could actually detract from some of the things Democrats are trying to accomplish.
So would a Bush assault on Iran is the rejoinder I would offer.
Exactly. And
it could be really distracting. It could suck up all the oxygen everywhere, not to mention all the oil.
Yeah. And, you know, my personal opinion is that impeachment is something that is worth pursuing just to initiate the investigations that go along with it. And it's pretty obvious that most of the evidence is there. But big caveat is the Democrats have proven that they're not willing to stand up for much of anything. So to think that they'd go for the whole hog is, I think, very naive at this point.
Yeah. Well, let's play a clip here from the interview, and people won't get to see her facial expressions, but you will get a sense from Congresswoman Woolsey. And I think Matt described her correctly, that she is passionate, and she, in my view, has the right positions on critical issues. I don't find her to be the best articulator of those positions, and you're going to hear some examples of that. So let's see if I get the right fader here. Let's listen.
As co-chair of the Progressive Caucus in the House to end the war in Iraq, the debate over the FISA legislation that was recently brought up again in the House has enraged the left. The Protect America Act was rushed through before the summer break. What's your reaction to the new legislation, and how do you see it progressing?
Well, the new legislation that got stalled last week does not go far enough.
The House version.
The House version. We don't know what the Senate version is at this moment, but the new legislation, as far as I'm concerned, and many progressives, does not go far enough. It does not truly protect individual rights.
It's been reported that the Senate version includes immunity for the telecommunication companies that might have participated in illegal spying on Americans. How do you feel about that provision?
First of all, if I can just commend the reporter here, this is one of the first times, Matt Renner, that I've heard that described without the euphemism warrantless wiretapping. Thank you very much. We'll get her answer here.
Well, I support actually the House version that does not provide that immunity, but I believe if we go to conference, the Senate will prevail. And there again, I won't support the House version.
The Senate bill seems to be a compromise between Senator Rockefeller and Senator Kip Bond. It was reported in Wired magazine that Senator Rockefeller has been taking money from telecommunications companies, specifically AT&T and Verizon, which are the two that are currently involved in a lawsuit regarding their work on FISA. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I'm not absolutely certain, but I think AT&T supports me also. That doesn't change my mind on what I think is right and wrong on what the president had them do, and that they followed his lead and actually carried out illegal activities, I believe.
If they were
now that's a very interesting response. Let me pause it here, Matt, because number one, you cited Wired as the source of that information, and it finally trickled into the New York Times today, Tuesday. Eric Lichtblau, who's an excellent reporter based in Washington, co-authored the article, which details the campaign contributions that Rockefeller has received from these phone companies. And I think it's a significant issue. Now, I think that Woolsey handled it well from her own point of view, that she can take money from AT&T and not dance to their tune. But I think that she didn't really offer you much of a comment on Senator Rockefeller. And even if he's not co-opted by the contributions he gets from AT&T and Verizon, he's a really weak advocate for our civil rights and has been frequently willing to compromise with the White House, most recently last Thursday.
Yeah, and, you know, on that issue, I didn't press her on that because it's not her job to speak for Senator Rockefeller, but I thought it was important to bring up the fact that his vote and his advocacy of this immunity for these telecommunications companies that we're all pretty sure broke the law here. It's not a done deal, but it seems pretty obvious, has come at the same rate as the increase of his campaign contributions from the two companies who are being sued over this issue, AT&T and Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that she doesn't think that it necessarily affects the way they vote, I'm pretty tired of that excuse. I think that it's legal bribery, and it's definitely one of the most important issues, I think, that goes underreported, is how people vote and how it corresponds to who gives them money.
Well, and equally important is that Rockefeller did engage in negotiations with the White House, saying that he wouldn't give them the immunity unless they gave him more information on the program itself and the legal basis for it. So now we have members of the Intelligence Committee, and I believe the vote out of that compromise piece of crap was 13-2. We have members of the Senate Intelligence Committee who are now privy to some information that was presumably handpicked by the White House in order to sway them into doing what the White House wanted, which is to grant this immunity. And by the way, it's not just phone companies who benefit from it. It would be those in the administration who authorized the surveillance activities and participated in that decision-making process.
Right.
I think they have great vulnerability, and the true beneficiaries of the amnesty in the proposal from the Senate Intelligence Committee is not really limited to the phone companies. It's our elected officials and administration staff people as well.
Right. And, you know, I thought Representative Woolsey did a great job in our interview pointing out that the bill doesn't go far enough, even the House version doesn't go far enough, because it just reasserts congressional oversight over the wiretapping programs. But they've failed us a number of times, allowing this program to continue, not investigating when they found out about it,
mm-hmm.
and still not playing hardball with the Bush administration to find out exactly what kind of violations of the Fourth Amendment this administration has continued to perfeitate.
Well, I think
starting
that's
even before September 11th.
Well, that's a very important point, that this got started before September 11th, and they have been permitted repeatedly to call this the terrorist surveillance program, and we have no indication that they cared a whit about terrorists prior to 9/11. We have Richard Clark saying, I couldn't get anybody to even attend a meeting to talk
right,
about
exactly.
terrorists during that period of time.
Exactly.
So yeah. Let me play a little bit more, because I think this is where Woolsey goes into that comment, and it's worth having people hear.
If given immunity, it would probably protect them from lawsuits that are currently being waged against them, which are actually one of the best avenues so far for uncovering information about the Bush administration spying program. Are those lawsuits something that you support?
Oh, absolutely. The House version of FISA, the new that's been stalled at the moment, actually gives Congress oversight. And as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence, because I believe it's the Intelligence Committee knew for over a year what the president was doing. And
well, that's a really important point.
Yeah, that's oversight.
Right.
And what did they do about it? Zero.
On the Democratic leadership, you've made some statements that...
Well, let me stop there. So it was kind of funny, because she went into a kind of church lady mode there when she said zero.
That was a very important point for her, I think.
Yeah.
She got very excited about it. And I like to see that, you know, even if they're not going to, at least there's some people who are passionate about this and paying attention.
We're talking with Matt Renner. You can see the piece that we're talking about, the video package, at truthout.org. It's on the homepage right now, and I recommend it to you, because I think it's very interesting. Now, in the next segment, we'll talk about Woolsey and the Out of Iraq caucus and the frustration that she certainly feels with the limited gains that they've made since the Democrats took the majority in January. But one of the things I found interesting in your exchange with her, Matt, was the conservative nature of the Democratic caucus. And you've done some excellent reporting on this that is still up at truthout.org about the way Rahm Emanuel headed up the Democratic Campaign Committee and recruited rich and conservative candidates. And now some people are surprised that the caucus is loaded with conservative and rich people. But one of her interesting responses was, you kind of suggested that progressives ought to challenge sitting Democrats in the primaries next year. And she kind of hedged away from that, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. It was interesting, because she had, you know, she said that she didn't make statements recommending that they were to be challenged by anti-war activists, Democrats who supported funding for the war. You know, it's an interesting question. She said they probably will be challenged, and that's what the activists should do, is go after Democrats. I didn't have her quotation in front of me, unfortunately, but I think that she has just gotten some heat and has decided to go back a little bit on that issue.
Well, there are a couple of factors that I think we can honestly attribute here. One is that she's been very close to Cindy Sheehan, and it must be a conflict for her that Cindy has decided to challenge the speaker, who was instrumental in getting Woolsey elected originally and has been kind of her aunt in the Senate, in the House in many respects. The other issue is that Woolsey has had two bruising challenges of her own in the last two congressional election cycles. Joe Nation was a state assemblyman who ran a very strong campaign against her, and to her credit, she pushed back both of the challenges by 7 to 10 point margins. So she's in a fairly safe seat, but she has had to respond to challengers in the recent past, and probably doesn't wish that on herself or her colleagues.
Right. Yeah, I'm not positive. I haven't been studying her past election cycles, but as we've seen, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, under Rahm Emanuel's leadership at least, went after progressive challengers. So people who were running for either open seats or against Republicans who were progressives and very vocal about their support for rolling back some trade agreements like NAFTA, and very vocal on withdrawal from Iraq. He actually challenged them with more conservative Democrats and put the whole party apparatus behind them, behind the conservatives, and pushed these people out. In two cases, he ended up losing the seat. There's many more that are out there. I didn't have time to get them all into the piece, but Jerry McNerney ended up winning. But then once he's in Congress, has kind of retreated from his progressive mantras, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, and he stopped returning my phone calls. I've been told it's going to be a long time before he finds time to come on the show again. Got to take a break here, Matt. You know how it goes. We'll return in just a moment with Matt Renner from truthout.org. As we mentioned, the video package is up on the homepage. His interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey here of California. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Everybody, let's take a look at traffic, and starting off with a problem right now. Santa Cruz County, Highway 1 at Swanton Road. Vehicle was on fire. It was on the right shoulder. In fact, the fire department had the southbound lane blocked. Everything cleared, and things starting to restore that area. Marina, northbound 1 before first, two-vehicle crash. It's in the, looks like it's in the center divide area, CHP there. Carmel, Rancho San Carlos at Chambasol, we have a crash, two vehicles, one of them off the roadway, CHP's there. Santa Cruz County, Highway 152 at Casserly, we have a three-vehicle crash in lanes there, CHP on the way to the scene. Sand City, northbound 1 at Fremont Boulevard, getting word of a two-car crash there, and CHP is on the way to the scene there. No problems reported on northbound or southbound 17 at this point. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Matt Renner is with us from truthout.org. We're sharing with you some segments from his video interview with Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey with the Progressive Caucus in the House, also very active in the Out of Iraq Caucus. And I think I've got it queued up here, Matt. Let's listen to one more clip, and then we'll get your reaction and detail to it.
Actually, if you listened to what I said, I did not advocate challenges. I said that Democrats will be vulnerable if we don't stay in step with the American people. 70% of the American people believe we should be bringing our troops and hopefully our military contractors out of Iraq as soon as possible, and fully funding it,
right,
and making sure that we bring our troops home in a responsible, safe, and timely manner. That's what people want. And they are going to react to not only Republicans, but Democratic candidates as well, if we don't pay attention to them, and I don't blame them.
So with that kind of political cover and the support of 70% of the people specifically, why hasn't the leadership acted in the House? If you have the power personally in the House, that body, to stop the war, what is the issue? What's standing in your way?
If I were the leader, which I wouldn't, I can't think of anything worse than being the Speaker of the House.
Why?
Because we are such a broad, diverse group of people. But if I were in, I had been the leader of a party that had been elected to be
spit it out,
control, to be the majority after the last election for one thing and one thing only, to get us out of Iraq, I would be concentrating on that every single week. And if the president, if the Senate won't take up what we want to do, and I mean meaningful steps, then I would repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Because if the public knew what we stood for, they would then get behind us and they would start the drumbeat. And the Republicans, the senators that say we can't do this, would start listening to the
Now,
public.
She's articulation challenged there, Matt, but she is saying something very important, that she needs political cover, and
yeah,
she needs more support to bring more of her colleagues along to our side of this debate.
Yeah. Now, I'm still hearing the interview. Are you still playing it?
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't on the air, but you could hear it, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I wanted to just add, you know, the question I asked right before, she said that she didn't advocate for running against Democrats. I asked her basically that I said that she had gotten in trouble previously for advocating the challenge of Democrats that continue to support funding for the war. And, you know, she said that she didn't advocate it. I'm just, you know, I hate to be petty about this, but I went back to look for exactly what she said. And she said on a conference call, quote, "You folks should go after the Democrats. I'd hate to lose the majority, but I'm telling you, if we don't stand up to our responsibility, maybe that's the lesson to be learned."
Mm-hmm.
So I think that she probably felt the thumb of the party on her after saying something like that and it getting publicized in the Hill newspaper.
And did you find her tenor was different when the camera wasn't rolling?
Yes and no, not really. She seemed to think about what she was saying a little more while the camera was on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think that she wants to make sure she doesn't step too far out of line. But what she was saying about leading the public, I think, is an important point that, you know, surprises me often when I look at all the congressional schedules every week to see what's coming up for the next week. And it's very rare that there's that much on Iraq. And 70% of the American people have a strong opinion about this, that funding should be restricted to solely for withdrawal of the troops. I think it's 46%, and 24% want a complete cut of funding.
That
I referenced.
And we also had a poll recently that more than 70%, including many Republicans, said they don't want to give full funding to the president's request, the recent request that now total $246 billion.
Right. And unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to ask her a question that I had planned to ask her. But it's amazing to me that Democrats are so far behind the American public on this that, you know, the American people know that cutting funding for the war in Iraq is different than cutting funding for the troops. And it's something that, you know, I come back to in my head all the time that, you know, it's just so cynical that the Democrats continue to fund the war just because they don't want to lose a talking point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very important issue. And I was arguing with a friend in Washington this morning, saying, you know, that we still have the Democrats using the language and the frames, the agenda items of the Bush administration. And so they always say, oh, yeah, we'll always support the troops. Well, this is about the war. It's not about the troops. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air. Dave, do we have you? Well, we lost Dave, but on the screen it said he wanted to let Matt know you're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dave. Thank you. I miss hearing from you every day when I was the board operator or the screener.
Yeah. Well, just about 45 seconds remaining. Any other impressions you want to share with us?
Well, I just want to go back to something you mentioned a while back, just briefly. You know, you said that it's interesting that I'm one of the few people that don't say warrantless wiretapping when I talk about the spying program. Well, I think that it's important that we keep looking at the language that reporters use and that people on the air like you use. When I learned that from being the producer of your show and paying a lot of attention to exactly what words to choose, because they do carry a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen, the sound bites catch hold and they stay forever. So we have to be aware. And, you know, you can be accused of bias if you don't use the mainstream words. But the fact is, words are words, and we get to decide how to use them, and we don't have to use the words of the right and the powerful.
Very well put. Thank you, Matt Renner, and thanks for your work. I want people to go to truthout.org and watch the interview with Congresswoman Woolsey. It's a lot of good information. We'll talk to you again soon.
Keep up the great work, Peter.
Thank you, Matt. Coming up next, Melanie Sloan kicks off the free speech zone. You can talk with me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Another fire has broken out in Southern California. Residents are being evacuated now from the town of Acton near Antelope Valley. And increasing danger in the San Bernardino Mountains has prompted mandatory evacuations of communities in and around Lake Arrowhead. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker covered that battle today.
Gusts of up to 50 miles per hour kept the fire moving, requiring a two-pronged attack. From the air,
a massive drop.
And from the ground, where the firefighters struggled to clear the bone-dry fuel from the path of the fire.
Its biggest concern is the fire further to the east and north that can hook around and make a good run towards us.
It is hot in here, and this is what makes fighting this fire so tough, this terrain. It is so steep and so dry that all it takes is one gust of wind to send these flames shooting straight up the mountain.
In San Diego County, roughly one in three homes has been evacuated, more than 500,000 people, and some of them are bunking at Qualcomm Stadium. Dave Price of the CBS Early Show is there.
Reminiscent of Katrina, a mass group of people just coming in, continuing to stream in. Only difference is, in New Orleans, it was rain, and here it is a wall of smoke and flames which surround this area.
There's one confirmed death, a man who refused to leave his home in Tecate. Blackwater will remain in Iraq, but under increased official scrutiny. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has that.
A State Department review prompted by the killing of at least 17 Iraqi civilians by Blackwater USA security guards concludes that private contractors have been effective, but they now will get cultural awareness training and instructions that if they fire their guns, those shots must be aimed, not sprayed. Also, a U.S. government diplomatic security officer will be in every convoy, along with video recorders to help investigations when needed. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is sending a senior diplomat to Baghdad to oversee security operations for non-military personnel. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
Congressional investigators blamed Blackwater for the deaths of four of its guards in a 2004 ambush, saying their convoy was sent into Fallujah undermanned and poorly equipped. But in a response today, Blackwater says they were lured into a trap by corrupt Iraqi forces and no amount of weapons or armor could have saved them. The recent problem with tainted hamburgers from Topps Meat Company has prompted a tightening of government enforcement. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
The Agriculture Department says it will initiate more rigorous inspections of larger meat packers and will make quicker decisions about recalling contaminated meat. This after it was criticized for delaying the recall of nearly 22 million pounds of beef processed by Topps. At least 40 people have been sickened by E. coli. Government officials now admit inspections at Topps had dropped off and that the company began mixing beef that hadn't been tested with meat that had.
The Dow up 109 points. This is CBS News.
I'd never gone through commercial real estate experiences before, and there was a lot I did not understand.
I bring my knowledge, my background, and my experience to the table.
Our realtor was able to really hone in, and that's when we found our space.
Working with my realtor saved me a lot more than money. It saved me time. It saved me aggravation.
Work with a realtor, someone who knows the commercial real estate market and can guide you through the process. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Definitely a smart business decision to use the realtor.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
There it goes. Space Shuttle Discovery took off from the Kennedy Space Center this morning for the most challenging construction project yet at the International Space Station. CBS News correspondent Peter King fills us in.
Discovery is bringing a new addition to the International Space Station. It'll lay the groundwork for future add-ons. NASA's Bill Gerstenmaier says they've been practicing and preparing, right down to testing out the bolts that'll hold down the new Harmony module.
We've exercised them all. We've checked them all. We make sure they all work. We understand the strain gauges that are on there, that they're all working correctly.
Station and shuttle astronauts will do 5 spacewalks in 8 days. The highlights include attaching Harmony, moving solar power panels to new locations, and testing shuttle tile repair techniques. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
A would-be burglar in Silver Spring Shores, Florida, was actually happy when police showed up this morning. They say he tried to get into a drugstore through an air shaft and got stuck for 10 hours. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
TGI Friday's Restaurants presents Food for Thought. Know this, your taste buds have feelings, so give them Friday's 3-course meal for $12.99 and choose your appetizer, entree, and dessert. Now with our new sweet and savory Asian garlic chicken. So come in for Friday's $12.99 3-course meal for a limited time only. It won't last long. And remember, you're not salivating. Those are taste bud tears of joy. Gimme more Fridays.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only.
What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo. Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And some callers didn't get on the air last hour when we were talking about term limits. You're welcome to dial back. Later this hour, we're going to talk to Patty Colston in Oceanside, California, just a few clicks up the road from San Diego. She'll give us a report on the wildfires, and gratefully, the winds have died down today. But Patty has some interesting comments about the way the federal government and the Schwarzenegger administration have responded. And we'll talk about that in about half an hour. But first, let's talk about corruption in Washington, because there is no shortage. Melanie Sloan heads CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How's it going today?
Excellent. How are you?
Not too bad. I wanted to get an update. We were just talking about San Diego, where the wildfires have hit and caused lots of people to evacuate. But Duke Cunningham is comfortably ensconced in a jail cell right across from the courthouse, where Brent Wilkes, who is accused of having bribed the man who has been convicted of accepting those bribes, makes it a pretty strong case from a distance anyway. Brent Wilkes is on trial. What has surfaced? I understand that the prosecution rested last Friday.
The prosecution did rest, and their final two witnesses were really fun for the media. There were two prostitutes who were in Hawaii with Brent Wilkes and Duke Cunningham, and Brent Wilkes had his nephew opening the door and paying the prostitutes, and there was a big argument over which prostitute each man would have relations with, and the prostitutes were testifying about how really unattractive Duke Cunningham was. And how the whole thing was paid for. So it's been quite an interesting trial from that perspective. There was also a waiter from a well-known restaurant here in Washington called the Capitol Grill who testified that he'd never seen a congressman pick up a check, not just Duke Cunningham, but no congressman. And it's a restaurant very near the Capitol, so it's frequented by congressmen and lobbyists. Duke Cunningham's favorite wine cost over $100 a bottle, and there was at least one meal in the indictment that cost over $3,000.
And what about those Tommy Bahama shirts?
Right. I think he had Brent Wilkes buy a dozen of them at one point for him. And there was this trip to Hawaii that was where the prostitutes were. That was a very expensive trip, and they went scuba diving, and all expenses were paid by Brent Wilkes. And Brent Wilkes was also in business with a guy named Mitchell Wade. Mitchell Wade has also already pleaded guilty in the Duke Cunningham scandal, crimes, and he pleaded guilty to bribing Duke Cunningham. And he testified, and he talked about how really they, Duke Cunningham, they considered below average intelligence, and so they would have to write out the entire script for Duke Cunningham when he would call, say, the Department of Defense and want to know why one of the contracts wasn't coming through for Mitchell Wade or Brent Wilkes.
Wow, that's real detailed kind of lobbying.
I mean, literally a script saying I, and in parentheses it would say Duke, am asking you, Department of Defense, why you haven't pursued this contract. And then it would be the contract and the numbers, and so it was very clearly spelled out so they couldn't possibly make any mistakes. Interestingly enough, one of Duke Cunningham's former staffers has testified at this trial that that Duke Cunningham showed enormous interest in Mitchell Wade and Brent Wilkes, way over the amount of interest he was showing in, say, contractors from San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the Associated Press account of the trial, and by the way, I misspoke, they rested on Thursday, not Friday last week, there's a letter referenced, and it's not clear whether it was introduced as an exhibit, but it's a letter from Duke Cunningham saying that it was Wade, Mitchell Wade, not Wilkes, has destroyed a lot of people. 90% of what happened is Wade. Now, first of all, is he credible on that issue? And secondly, what's your sense of how this played to the jury?
Well, the reason that the prosecution didn't call Duke Cunningham, in my view, is he's not really credible on any issue. He's a convicted felon, and he has lots of reason to lie, and you can't really rely on anything Duke Cunningham is saying. He's still apparently interested in trying to make it look like he didn't do anything so wrong, and that what he was doing was just the way Washington operated, which is also, by the way, Brent Wilkes' whole defense at trial, which is that Brent Wilkes wasn't doing anything unusual. This is just Washington business as usual. So I think it's not surprising that Duke wasn't called, and Mitchell Wade is obviously not Cunningham's favorite person because Wade provided evidence against Cunningham that led to his guilty plea.
And so where does Mark Garagos go in presenting a defense? The business as usual, I've never seen a congressman pick up a check. That kind of argument only goes so far when you have this explicit evidence of the gifts or bribes received and the quid pro quo, the payback in terms of these interventions or phone calls or lobbying by the congressman in support of business deals that benefit Wade and Wilkes.
Well, apparently he's trying to argue that Cunningham reimbursed Wilkes for some of those expenses, some of the things on the Hawaii trip and other costs. So
he forgot to get a receipt.
Paid for things. They were personal friends, and Cunningham paid for things as well, so they weren't all just covered by Wilkes. But truthfully, I think this is a losing defense, and I think Brent Wilkes is going to find himself convicted pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. So in broad terms, what's the ROI here, the return on investment? Duke Cunningham pled guilty to a minimum of $2.5 million worth of bribes. Did they all come from Wade and Wilkes, or are there others that rolled up into that bundle?
Everything that he pleaded guilty to came from Wilkes and Wade. You know, one thing that I've always found troubling by how quickly Duke Cunningham was, the case was brought against Duke Cunningham and he pleaded guilty, was they didn't do a whole lot of investigation to see who else might have been bribing Duke Cunningham. So for all we know, there are other people out there who bribed him, and we just never heard about it.
Mm-hmm. So $2.5 million roughly, and what did Duke Cunningham deliver to his bribers?
Oh, you know, I don't know the exact figures, but it's tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars for particularly Brent Wilkes at ADCS, and particularly in contracts that were never wanted by the Defense Department. Apparently, Brent Wilkes had a document system, a way to sort of PDF documents that was never viewed as that useful by the Pentagon, that they were forced to purchase by Duke Cunningham and spend literally millions and millions of dollars on.
The AP reports that it was $150 million in contract earmarks. So, yes, tens and tens of millions of dollars. Well, good luck to Mark Garagos on that
one. You know, let me just also add, though, that sadly, you know, even though that there are actual bribes there, the way it usually works in Washington, it's campaign contributions and you get hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's not that it's so much different. It's just that instead of the money going into a member's personal pocketbook, it goes into their campaign coffers, and they still get, you know, the certain defense contractors get literally hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts in return for their campaign contributions.
Melanie Sloan with us from Crew. And last week when we spoke, Melanie, your organization had filed a court request for a temporary restraining order against the White House to prevent them from destroying emails or backups or hard drive copies of communications that, may have taken place off the White House or government servers, which would be a violation of the Presidential Records Act. And some of that information might be useful if anybody decided to investigate Karl Rove or Alberto Gonzalez and the firing of U.S. attorneys.
That's right, and we had a terrific result last week, which is that we had a hearing in front of a magistrate judge, and the magistrate said, yeah, you know, I am a little worried about the White House destroying all of these records, and so I am going to recommend to the district court judge that he issue a temporary restraining order preventing the White House from destroying any documents. Now, what happens when it's a magistrate judge and not a district court judge who issues a decision is the case was in front of District Court Judge Henry Kennedy, and he is very busy, so he asked the magistrate to issue a recommendation. The magistrate had the hearing, comes up with the recommendation. The White House had 10 days to object to the magistrate's recommendation, and just tonight they, of course, have objected to the magistrate's recommendation, and now the district court judge will issue an order. But it is very likely that the district court will follow the magistrate judge's recommendation, because otherwise why refer it to a magistrate judge if you're just going to ignore his opinion?
Well, you're making progress there. Keep it up. That's something
Thanks.
That I care a lot about. And finally, just today, you have sent a letter to Senator Grassley asking him to investigate a gentleman from Seattle named Stephen Moses and the organization he's affiliated with, the Center for Long-Term Care Reform. What's this about?
That really we should all care about, because the long-term care industry, long-term care insurance industry, which is the industry that covers, you know, if you might need nursing home care later in life, they are advocating that people spend a lot more money on insurance for needing long-term care later. And lately, and in recent times, people have really depended on Medicaid to pay those bills. And the long-term care insurance industry doesn't want Medicaid to cover it, because they don't get as much money that way. They want, you know, you and me to pay for that. And while there should clearly be more planning for long-term care now that Americans are living so much longer, what the long-term care industry has done has funded this quote institute called the Long-Term Care Reform Institute, and Stephen Moses, who put themselves out as these independent experts on this issue. And Mr. Moses then advocates for cutting Medicaid benefits for middle-class people so that they would be forced to buy long-term care insurance. Well, it turns out that he's funded by, who do you suppose? The long-term care insurance industry. And yet he's been acting like he's a independent expert, and he's testified in front of Congress and in front of all 50 states advocating for legislative changes, and it just seems to us that at the very least people ought to know what he's really up to, who he's funded by. Charles Grassley, the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, has recently undertaken an investigation of the long-term care insurance industry which has been refusing to pay claims. So all these people finally pay out money they can barely afford for long-term care insurance, and then the insurance industry refuses to pay when they need it. And it seems to us that this, quote, independent expert should be part of their Grassley's investigation.
And on the face of it, it seems quite clearly unethical. Is it illegal?
It's not illegal, but it's unethical, and it's really, you know, when the long-term care industry is so busy trying to get legislation passed so that we'll all be forced to pay more money, at the very least, Stephen Moses should be uncovered as the shill that he is, the front for the industry. If they want to have a trade association and have someone talk about what their real needs are, that's one thing. But to have a, quote, independent expert out there who's not really independent, and we know this from looking at Mr. Moses's fundraising solicitations, which say flat out that he is the greatest income producer for the long-term industry. Wouldn't it be better for them to use him since he looks independent and they look biased?
Very interesting. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. Melanie, thanks for your work, and people can visit your website, citizensforethics.org.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll talk again soon. That's Melanie Sloan. Now, we open up the phones for the free speed zone. I'd like to hear from you. And as I mentioned, some people didn't get through last hour about term limits. So if you want to talk about that, that's open for discussion. Anything else that's on your mind, too, call me now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And visit our website for zippy new improved podcasts at peterbcollins.com.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Big. Well, hello, everybody. Let's say hello to the latest and Boy, crazy things going down in the Southern California area. It's certainly affecting a lot of travel in the Southern California. By the way, if you're planning to travel, simply at this point, especially in the San Diego area, it's simply not advised at this point at all. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's happening in, let's see, Santa Cruz County, 152 at Casterly, three vehicles blocking lanes, San City, northbound one at Fremont, two vehicle crash on the off-ramp. The CHP is on scene. Gilroy, Santa Teresa Boulevard at Day Road, injury crash, paramedics and fire department on scene. It's a pickup truck with a trailer that went into a ditch. We have a person that may be trapped in that vehicle, so obviously fire department crews on scene. Monterey, northbound one before Soledad, two vehicle crash being reported. It's in the center divide. And Carmel, Rancho San Carlos at Chazamel, two car crash.
Late 5, Peter B. Stevie Winwood there. Time is running out. Yeah, the presidential primaries are going to get started up real soon. New Hampshire may conduct it in December, which could really get this thing front-loaded and jump-started. And today I received, and anybody who's been to rawstory.com is disqualified, but I received the results of a Zogby poll that I think is fascinating. And it's based on a simple question. Looking at the presidential candidates, Democrat and Republican, whom would you never, never vote for President of the United States? And my easy, quick answer is Rudy Giuliani. But I would like to hear from you, and I'd like you to call in and first tell me who you could never, ever vote for, and then you can guess, until people do guess the accurate results here, what the poll results said. All right? So a simple question, who could you never vote for president, and who do you think polled highest on this list? 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Emily's on the line up first here in the Free Speech Zone. Good afternoon, Emily.
Hi, Pete.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not bad. Tell me what's on your mind.
I just wanted to call and say hi. I think you're a great guy, and I think you... I love your show. My brother and I are big fans.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
You're doing a fabulous job. You know what? You should be president.
Nope. I'll tell you that right now. Nope.
Yeah. No?
No. I have no aspirations in that direction.
Yeah.
It's a grueling process, and it requires outsized ambition. And I'm content with the ambition I have here in talk radio. This is what I love to do, and this is what gratifies me the most. But no, I don't think I'd make a great candidate. I couldn't make the fundraising calls. I couldn't sit through all those boring meetings and be nice to people who I think are creeps.
Yeah. I'm like your groupie, Peter B. I just wanted to call and tell you that.
Hey, bless the groupies. Roger Daltrey
told
me that one time.
I have t-shirts with your name on them.
Oh, great.
I'll pass them out to all my friends.
Well, then we'll make you a vice president of marketing, Emily.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks for your call today. I got a groupie. Wow. I thought that had left me behind. Warren in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thank you. I thought she was great. I loved her.
Yeah.
I loved her comments. Yeah. I suppose a semi-serious proposal. You know, I wanted to throw out. I'm one of those people who divides life up into two camps all the time. And I kind of think at the moment we're people who, some of us believe a great deal in the rule of law and democratic processes in order to make decisions. And others want to give that authority away and have men that somehow or other are perceived as better than ourselves make decisions about our lives for us.
Warren, don't you want Daddy to keep you safe?
Then, you know, no, this Daddy's a drunk, and he's unrepentant about it. That's what bothers me. He's an alcoholic who's never been through a 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to get at is that, you know, I mean, the issue at the moment, the thing that the single issue that, for me, divides us from them more than anything else is torture. And it's nothing. There's nothing cute or abstract in it. And what seemed obvious to me is that British common law, the core of our own law, has a neat little definition for battery, the intentional harm of perpetrated by one human being against another.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we simply pass that as the standard for torture?
Well, Congress,
federal standard for torture.
Congress did pass language defining torture and banning certain procedures. John McCain was a principal participant in that. And they were skunked by the White House. The president signed a bill and issued a signing statement saying, never mind. And that's where we are today. I want you to hold on. This is an important issue. Sure. I got to take a break. Let's talk about it a little more after the break because sure. I have a couple of ideas for you. 888-5, Peter B. More of your phone calls coming up next. Tell me who you absolutely, positively could not vote for president. And I'll tell you the results of this poll. Thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show. Brian Urban is taking your calls here at the Secret Studio.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Do you remember UFOs over Monterey Bay? Was it all just a dream? Visit those memories with us this Saturday morning at 11 a.m. on 540 KRXA. Hear eyewitnesses. Take back our power. Get truth and knowledge. Step up to the plate. Take your best shot this Saturday at 11 a.m. Tell us your UFO experiences. Being abducted? Strange things happening? Missing time? Liberate these memories this Saturday. Be bold. Fill in the pieces of one of the strangest puzzles of our time. Together, your chance to blow this phenomenon out of the water with Strange Encounters of the Second Time, UFOs Over Monterey Bay, Second Edition. New speakers, new stories, new answers. Your host for UFOs Over Monterey Bay, Bob Oliver, 11 a.m. this Saturday on your Progressive Radio Channel 540 KRXA.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In the next few minutes, we'll get a live report from the wildfire zone in Southern California. My friend Patty Colston will join us. We're taking your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, and my cue of the D, my question of the day, which presidential candidate of either party could you absolutely, positively never vote for? And I've got a poll. You probably won't be too surprised by the results, but I'll share it with you as we take your calls. Want to return to Warren from Sacramento. Thanks for holding through the break there, Warren. Sure. I wanted to recommend a couple of things. First of all, I'm very pleased that you care about this issue of torture. I think it really defines us as a nation. And the odious nature of the Bush administration's policy changes will linger for a long, long time. We will have to live this down and prove to people in the future that we don't torture. And that's not just the language where we have tortured the definition of torture to the point that it doesn't mean anything when the president issues that kind of denial. I also recommend that you see the new film Rendition. Meryl Streep plays the CIA director, and when confronted about a specific case where they are torturing a rendered suspect, a detainee, she says, "Oh, no, the U.S. doesn't torture. We send them elsewhere, and we're not sure what happens." And it's this kind of deniability, this kind of smug, righteous redefining of terminology that has gotten us into a serious predicament. And we need to fix that because we know that torturing these individuals produces very little, if anything, and that the damage to our standing in the world is severe and will last for a long time. And finally, there is a powerful column on the op-ed page of the New York Times today written by a constitutional law professor at Yale named Jed Rubenfeld. And he says, you know, I practiced before Judge Mukasey when I was an assistant U.S. attorney. I saw his fairness, conscientiousness, and legal acumen. But he is lingering on a quote that Mukasey made at his confirmation hearings last week. And it was one of these wobbly statements he made about whether the president is required to obey federal statutes. And he had a wobbly answer. And this law professor is saying that the Congress should not confirm Judge Mukasey until he recants that comment. And I really think that we do need to see Democrats stand up and demand that this attorney general candidate make an explicit commitment not to condone torture, not to provide the legal premise for it, and that there's also been a suggestion that they shouldn't confirm him unless he agrees to appoint a special prosecutor to look into these issues, including the Bybee memo and the John Yoo memos that tried to redefine torture. So that's a lot of rant from me, but I wanted you to hear it. Warren, do you have a response?
No, I don't think you're ranting at all. I mean, my dad was a lobbyist. He met Richard Nixon in 1951, came home, looked at my mother, and he said, I just met the most insidious, awful little man. His view of the world scares the hell out of me. Well, Richard Nixon is the father to this expanded notion of presidential authority that we're now suffering with. And, you know, along with your contest, you've got a good contest going. I keep thinking about which presidential nominee from the Democratic side is most likely to remember that Congress is a full and complete partner in the democratic process and will be willing to give back all this cute stuff that's been done in the name of the presidency, particularly what you pointed to, that signing process. The signing process is an insidious erosion of congressional authority, and it doesn't belong in the system anywhere.
Yeah.
If a president can either, he has to vote up or down. He doesn't get to say, yeah, I'll take some of it, but not all of it. No, he takes all of it or none of it. He has to stand up and do a veto, or he has to stand up and sign it into law once a piece of legislation is passed.
And
I don't get how these guys get to reshape it. You know?
We need to force the presidential candidates, including the Democrats, to take a pledge to roll back the power grabs of the Bush administration. And I'll just leave you with one more item. There's a website at AmericanFreedomCampaign.com or .org, I don't remember, and also the American Freedom Agenda. One's liberal, one's conservative, but they're driving at the same constitutional issue, and they want these presidential candidates to swear to uphold the Constitution actually before they take their oath of office. Warren, thanks for a great conversation.
American Freedom Agenda, thanks. Yeah. And that last lady was right. Your show is a lot of fun. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Warren. Now to Jake in Eureka. Thanks for holding. Jake, you're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., how's it going?
Pretty good.
So the candidate that I would never vote for under any circumstances would be Duncan Hunter, the Republican congressman from Southern California.
Well, according to this poll, 45% of those polled agree with you.
Yeah, I simply, as a matter of personal policy, do not vote for members of either the KKK or the GOP, which are basically the same thing these days. I don't know if Duncan Hunter's solution to America's problems is to bomb Iran or to bomb Mexico. But,
Jake, your comment there was unfair to the KKK.
Yeah, really. I mean, with George W. Bush and Dick Cheney in charge, God, I mean, just look at the fact that George W.'s grandfather, Prescott, was Hitler's banker, after all.
Yeah. All right, Jake, thanks. Now to Rick in Sacramento. Who could you never vote for, Rick?
I agree with you and the last caller, but I'm also going to add in there Tom Tancredo. He floats right to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
But the top vote-getter in the poll was probably Hillary.
You are correct.
Yes.
She scored a 50%. 50% of the people polled said they could never, ever vote for her. And guess who was number two? I'm surprised by this.
McCain?
No, Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I guess that
would say it would put him on the list.
I guess right-wingers think that he's dangerous.
Probably.
Yeah.
Also, can I make one comment?
Well, sure you can. It's the free speech zone.
Phone call?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're trying to force us to buy long-term care insurance, but on the Social Security, when they changed the Social Security system and made us pay extra, the plan was that they would bring that money back out of tax revenues when the baby boomers started retiring.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're trying to get out of that promise, and I don't want to have to buy long-term care insurance and then pay for it for 20 years and then have that company that I paid into go bankrupt before I collect.
Well, you have a very good point there. We have the same issue with pensions and with these various bailout funds. You know, it looks like at some point the government's going to bail out the rich people who misjudged the subprime lending market. And
yep.
So, America protects its corporations. The people, Thanks for your call, Rick. I really appreciate it. We'll take more calls in just a moment, so grab a line at 888-5 Peter B. If you want to answer our question of the day or just comment on something in general, I welcome your comments. 888-573-8372. Patty Colston joins us now. She's in Oceanside, which is about, 30, 40 miles north of San Diego. Right there, and we have 9 or 10 different wildfire zones stretching from the Oxnard area into the San Diego County area. Patty, how are you today?
I'm great, Peter. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, same here, but 250,000 people have had to vacate their homes. Are you on alert? You got your photo albums and the real treasures wrapped up and ready to go if they tell you to leave?
I do, but I'm one of the fortunate ones, Peter, and that number has changed. It's now over 900,000.
Really?
Evacuated.
Wow, I didn't know that.
That's almost half of the residents of this county. Over 400,000 acres burned now. There are two new fires on Camp Pendleton, 6,500 firefighters down here. One road in and out, that's I-5, I-15 is closed at Fallbrook, where there is also a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And over 1,700 homes lost so far.
Wow. Now, what about the response? I've seen Schwarzenegger on TV. There was a photo op in Malibu and then one in San Diego. And what is your sense? Is this another Katrina, or has both the federal and state government figured out how to respond to an emergency like this?
This would only be a Katrina if the residents of New Orleans each had a home worth about $25 million.
Oh, I see.
The governor was here within 24 hours doing a press conference. The mayor gave one first, along with the Board of Supervisors and all the officials across the board. And it's just been excellent. But the fire is so big, and it's almost like a giant semicircle engulfing the county. And because of the conditions, this was the worst drought conditions that the county has seen in 90 years.
Mm-hmm.
If the temperatures were high, they were unseasonable, they were over 80 degrees, and the winds, the Santa Ana winds came up about the time as the coastal winds came up, and they met each other. And I guess strong winds caused a power line to fall, a pole to fall, and the line caused a fire that sparked in the dry brush. And because of the high winds, up to 80 miles an hour, the thing just took off. People were describing it as a firestorm because there were walls of flames 100, 200 feet high.
Yeah.
And people had already gone to bed. So by around midnight on the 22nd, between then and about 4:30, hundreds of people, thousands of people were evacuated.
Yeah. Now, you made a reference that if, you know, all the people of New Orleans had $25 million homes, the ones that I've seen on television, and I have not watched the coverage extensively, but were very stately mansions, shall we say. These were very expensive homes. Have the rescue and firefighting teams, in your view, chosen to protect Del Mar or other ritzy communities at the expense of lower-income areas?
No, I think that they were doing what was safest, and I'm not trying to take anything away or make light of anything. A person who loses a home is a person who loses their home, and I don't mean to shine any negative light on the work of the officials. There was so much fire so fast that they can only do so much and be safe. And what most people may not know is that there are really a lot of just two-lane highways, one way in and out into a lot of these communities. So they could only do as much as they could, but there were some places that where fires were being fought and other places where there wasn't even any attempt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I got an email from Bill in Sacramento, and thank you, Bill. He sent a note over saying, as California burns, where is the California National Guard?
Now we know
that there is a large contingent still serving in Iraq. There is a smaller group, I think about 1,500, deployed to the Mexican border where they're doing almost nothing. Have you seen National Guard response in San Diego, Patty?
Well, there is a fire at the border, at Tecate, which is one of the three border crossings in San Diego County.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in fact, where this fire started. And it moved north, and then it moved west, and then it moved east, and now it's moving east again. But, no, they've pulled 800 National Guard off the border, and I think they brought in 1,500 from other parts of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Cal Fire has pitched in. Other states are now coming in. The emptied out Donovan State Prison. They're even using inmates to fight this fire,
mm-hmm.
or these fires.
Yeah. And what about, has the evacuation been relatively calm, or are people fighting over water and groceries and things like that?
Peter, they've had to stop people from bringing donations to Qualcomm. There was such an overwhelming response, so much delivered that they're asking that the donations be held until people go back to their homes and find, you know, that they may need clothes or food or something else in their own communities. There are about 30 evacuation centers around the county. Qualcomm is just one.
Mm-hmm.
Del Mar, the racetrack, if anybody's familiar with that.
Yeah, I've lost money there.
Yeah, well, it's filled with people now and their animals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ranches, a lot of horse breeding, a lot of animals are being taken care of there as well.
Great. Patty, anything you'd like to add before we go?
Mm, just it's great to hear from you. Please don't forget us down here. This county is, it really is a disaster area, and we are in a state of emergency. And we just really appreciate you thinking about us, Peter.
All right. Good to talk to you, Patty. Stay safe, okay?
All right.
That's Patty Colston in Oceanside, just north of San Diego, where, as you heard, the situation has grown even more. When I came on the air earlier today, the figure was around 250,000, and she's telling us now that 900,000 people have had to leave their homes. That's a very serious problem. And hopefully the weather is going to shift in the next 24 hours and help firefighters contain these blazes. We'll take a break and return to more of your phone calls. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
How many times have you bumped up against a belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 a.m.
Hi, everybody. Well, we're going to take a look at the traffic here in the Monterey, Salinas, and Carmel areas. We've got a lot of activity. First of all, Monterey, northbound 14 Soledad Road, a two-vehicle crash being reported there. CHP is, in fact, on scene. Let's take a look at Gilroy. Well, before we go to Gilroy, let's go back to Monterey. Northbound 1, just after Highway 68, we have a pickup truck partially blocking the right lane, stalled out. And that's what's going on there. Monterey, northbound 1 after Highway 68. We have a pickup truck. Well, I think we just mentioned that. So let's move over to Gilroy. Santa Teresa Boulevard at Day Road, injury crash. Pickup truck with a trailer that went into a ditch. Person is trapped. We have emergency rescue crews on scene there. Also looking at Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway. That's Highway 68 at Scenic Drive. Multiple vehicle crash with a motorcyclist down. Emergency crews are on the way to the scene there. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 9 minutes in front of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, and Sandro knows how to dial it. Welcome, Sandro. You're on the Peter B. Show.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Listen, you know, I have a comment on your music. I didn't think I'd have to sit and listen to Stevie B, that Florida house music. I'm impressed.
Well, the way this show works, I originate from an undisclosed secret location.
Yeah.
And then we send a signal to the satellite uplink, and then the radio stations pull down the satellite feed. And during the commercial breaks, while the radio listeners listen to commercials, we just play music so that in case a commercial doesn't play or something like that, there is some audio coming down the line. And the bumper music on this program is selected for my amusement. And
oh, yeah. No, listen, that's part of the reason why I turned to you. Yeah, I discovered you because I'm like most progressive, forgive me to say, is hella white. And I love the choices of music that you play. That's not. I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just saying.
You're not like, offensive at all. And, Sandro, if you've got some tunes, white or otherwise, that you think would sound good on the show, email me. Send them to me. Send me an MP3 or just send me the name of the song because I'm always hungry for new stuff to use on the show.
DJ, so I actually have loads of music.
Cool. Well, do it.
But what I did call was, I just want to comment on that guy who was talking about what a Democratic presidential candidate needs to do. I'm sorry. Unless this man is impeached, the next president is going to do exactly what he did. Why wouldn't he? I mean, the power is there. Power is there for the taking,
well,
not to be given back. And I think that people are naive to think that now that this penetration in the Constitution has happened, that it's going to be rectified without some serious kind of a reshaping. I mean,
now, Sandro, are you so cynical that you think that Hillary Clinton or John Edwards or Bill Richardson or Barack Obama wouldn't get to the White House and say, you know, I've got too much power and I'm going to go on a power diet and I'm going to give some of this power back to the Congress that it was stolen from? You don't think that these politicians will do that?
Well, I'm sorry. Madison said that he designed a system so that devils could run the place. Obviously, he made a mistake. Are these the worst devils than he ever imagined? Because this country's been sort of turned inside out and, hey, I don't know. I got my passport. I'm hoping for the best.
And what's your destination?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. Oh, it's a beautiful place. You ever been there?
Oh, yeah. I spent like 8 months there. I loved it.
Okay. I'm overdue to go back because I only visited the North Island, and I've got to hit the South Island next time, too.
The South Island is equally amazing but different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I'll let you go.
Okay. I appreciate your call and your points, and she's right. And this is one of the reasons why we had Bruce Fine on the program last week. He's a Republican. A very conservative guy. He helped launch the impeachment of Bill Clinton. And yet he's a constitutionalist. And he's part of the American Freedom Agenda. Check out these websites. These names are too similar. But American Freedom Agenda is right-wingers who want to restore the Constitution. And the American Freedom Campaign is a group of lefties who want to restore the Constitution. And each one of them has a pledge. The right-wingers have a 10-point pledge, and the lefties have, I think, a 6-point pledge. But they're strikingly similar. No torture, no signing statements, no spying through the NSA without warrants, you know, the illegal type, and things of that nature. And these are very important issues. And we need to hold any presidential candidate of either party accountable and say, if you don't agree to this, we will not elect you. Because we, you know, our elected leaders in the House and the Senate have failed to hold accountable those who have abused the Constitution, violated their oaths of office, and grabbed more power for the executive branch. It's up to us to roll that back. It will not be easy, and it may not be perfect. But we know that the Democrats in the House and Senate are not going to stand up for us, at least not as a group. And yet we cannot sit idly by and say, oh, you know, those constitutional rights weren't that important because, hey, I got satellite TV and HD. Pardon me. Julie in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're next.
Peter B.
Hello, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, as long as I don't think about politics and the Democrats.
I've been enjoying you.
Well, good.
I just wanted to say that every time the word torture comes up, the memory of what they did to the four contractors and Fallujah comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
That it would do that to our soldiers, should they get a chance to do the same thing.
Well, it's an important point, and while this movie rendition is a Hollywood movie, it has its weaknesses. There are too many cute little stories threaded into it. It does drive home the point. A, the torture is just fundamentally immoral, and B, when you torture somebody, they will tell you whatever they think you want to hear in order to get the torture to stop. And that doesn't do us any good. They talk about, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11, and how we tortured him. Well, they don't actually acknowledge that, but they say they used enhanced interrogation and he coughed up lots of information. Well, he has gone beyond things that logically he could have been involved with or responsible for, and claimed responsibility and involvement in things that he clearly could not have done. And yet we're supposed to take at face value that he's one of the worst and that torture worked on him. It's bogus, it's un-American, and we've got to stop it. And as we've seen, it's going to take action by the people to really drive that home.
Julie, I have a comment on the lobbyists.
Go right ahead quickly,
and,
please.
We need to do term limits on lobbyists.
Okay, that's a good succinct point. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate your call. Also, I would like to note for our Sacramento listeners that KSAC did make a change and that Christine Kraft has left the station. She has a lot of friends, and I'm one of them. I'm a great admirer of her work, and it's a little awkward for me to have our program replacing her in Sacramento. But that's what's happened, and I wanted you to know about it. And I appreciate your phone calls to our program, and thanks for being non-hostile to Brian and Katrina when you've called them to talk about that. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same great radio stations, for another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
Keep smiling.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I told you to get out. You need to get out now. We got hoses up here.
A sense of urgency in San Diego County, where one person has already died after refusing to leave his home. More than 500,000 people, a third of the population, have been evacuated from their homes. Elsewhere in Southern California, thousands more have been forced to flee, including this worried woman in Orange County.
We're all going. We did what we could. There's just no fire engines here. There's no fire engines. We've got lots of friends, but no fire engines.
More from CBS News correspondent John Blackstone.
More than 2,300 residents of Orange County.
I've got Rachel and Steven.
Have got the order to get out while they can.
Make sure all your windows are closed.
Yes, they are.
Make sure your doors are closed.
Okay, yes.
The patio furniture.
Yes, all that's done.
Then you've prepped it as best you can.
Yes.
The smoke and embers are going to be coming in very quickly.
In Orange County's rugged canyons, firefighters have now fallen back to set up a new defensive line, hoping to stop more neighborhoods from going up in flames. John Blackstone, CBS News, Foothill Ranch, California.
Across the region, officials say more than 1,300 homes and businesses have been lost. It's the start of a big project in space.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Booster ignition and liftoff of Discovery.
Shuttle Discovery left the launch pad at the Kennedy Space Center this morning, headed for a rendezvous with the International Space Station.
This is an extremely high-priority mission for NASA. It's probably the most difficult and challenging space station assembly mission that they've attempted in the 9 years they've been building this lab complex.
CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood says the Discovery crew will make 5 spacewalks, installing a new living compartment and adjusting equipment that's already there. The Russians are resisting, but President Bush is pressing to deploy missile defenses on Russia's doorstep. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller has the latest.
Making the case for a missile defense program at home and abroad, President Bush warns anew of the threat posed by Iran, saying we need to take it seriously now.
Iran could develop an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of reaching the United States and all of Europe before 2015.
Addressing a military audience at the National Defense University, Mr. Bush defended plans to install a missile defense system in Europe. Otherwise, he says there's nothing in place to defend against an Iranian missile attack there. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
Defense Secretary Gates says parts of the system in Poland and the Czech Republic